This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, we're going to feed you some football film study. On NFL Lunch, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, earlier today, Vinny broke down the Ravens' defense. 480 yards allowed, 3 touchdowns to Baker Mayfield. Not stellar, even though they won. Reason they won, because they scored 41 points, and Lamar won Offensive Player of the Week again. Vinny, let's break down that offense on film. And after a slow start, boy, they started to cook, didn't they?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bob. First series, I mean, they started driving down the field. Then they got 2 sacks in a row, which they ran a stunt, and Rosengarten let his guy go. And then another one on a blitz. They confused them, but after that, that was it. Then it was on. Then it was on with the offense. And let me just say this about the O-line. I thought the O-line blocking, you can see they're kind of coming together as a unit. You know, they're working together extremely well. Their combo blocks, their pulls, they're turning up and getting on guys. Because the long run that Henry had, the blocking is beautiful. It's like a picket fence. And that screen pass that they had for the touchdown, that was a thing of beauty. Mike Preston texted me, said that may be the best screen that the Ravens have ever run. I mean, they've had some plays in that game blocking wise that you go, wow. I mean, that it's a training film on how it should be. That's how the O-line is coming, especially in a run game and stuff. And you know what? In the pass game, you put a big dude on Falele. You put a, you know, like Vita Vea or any of those kind of guys, a power guy, he's fine with that. He just struggles with quickness. And I showed you a picture, Bob, where he's getting beat. I think I showed it to you. He's getting beat on one of them. You know, he doesn't want to extend his arms. The other thing with Falele, he'll get lazy. And I don't know if it's because he's getting tired or what, but he wants, like, in the run stuff, and when he goes up on the linebackers, instead of punching inside, keeping tight hands, he reaches around, and he'll grab, and they'll call that a lot, especially if he yanks on it. So he's got to just remember, tight hands, tight hands, tight hands. Get them inside. Get your hands inside, and you will never get a holding penalty, because He's coming along, and I don't see him on the ground hardly at all. And he's doing a nice job on the pulls. You know, on the screen pass, he ran all the way down there. He didn't hit anybody, but they still scored.
He's in the picture.
Yes. And the thing that is amazing on the pass to Bate, the one over the middle, not the touchdown, but the one where he planted his foot and then came back. You should see, I'll show you the film, Bob, during break, that when he starts running down the field, the dude that is sprinting, you see him come sprinting down the field, Lamar, he sprints all the way right to him. It was pretty amazing. And then on the long touch or the long run by Henry, Lamar's the one leading the play, blocking Winfield. So, I mean, you talk about a dude that, you know, most quarterbacks, they're just standing watching. That dude wants a win, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and there's a reason why he was player of the week again and why he's, you know, MVP caliber right now. And the receiving group, they're running excellent routes. Bateman's running great routes. It's a confident group right now. It's a very confident receiver group. And they're all making plays. Likely was involved. Andrews is running good plays. And because of the play action, because of Henry, I mean, there's I don't know if I see other teams have so many wide open receivers. I mean, they're wide open. And the other thing that I noticed on film is, and what helps cause these receivers running wide open, like on the one that Andrews is open, you see Bateman sprinting to the post because his job, they're not throwing it to him, but his job is to take two. Take the corner and take safety out. And he's sprinting. And the safety goes out, and that opens up the hole too. And they're all running. They're not lollygagging around. They're all doing their job. And Bateman's job on that play, it's not to get the ball. You're not the target. It's to clear out. And he's sprinting his ass off to clear out. So, I mean, they're all offensively, it is a group that is all buying in that to what's going on, and they're blocking for each other. They're hustling down the field. I really like, you know, what's going on offensively because they're playing their ass. Ronnie Stanley's playing excellent, Bob. I mean, you know, and this week I would try initially let him go one-on-one with Garrett. Let him go one-on-one. The other, Rosengarten's going to need help. I'm guessing he's not going to line up much on Ronnie Stanley. He's going to be lining up on the other side a lot. Za'Darius will line up on either guard. And that, I don't know if it'll cause McCary as many problems, but that one is going to cause Falele problems with Za'Darius over him. But offensively, they're rolling right now. I mean, 500 yards. They're 5-0, and it's mostly because of the offense is why they are, and they're getting a ton of yards, they're making plays, and they know who they are. You know, I don't think Baltimore people weren't panicking when Henry only had four carries. The national people were like, there they go again, they ain't giving him the ball.
Well, I did say to myself, why is he standing there? Because that last drive of the first half we're referencing
right.
here.
Right.
But then you look at it in retrospect, always defer to the experts. Yeah. They had a plan.
Yeah, they're in two-minute drill.
Yeah.
And he's not part of the two-minute. And the biggest reason why, Bob, Justice Hill's 100 times better blocker in pass pro than Derrick Henry is. So that's why he's out there then. And the way Justice Hill, I mean, how about Justice Hill? He's playing great football right now. Great football. You know, and Charlie Kolar, Bob, I'll give him some credit. I watched him doing his inline blocking. He did a good job in pass pro, too, blocking their guys. So he's even getting better blocking. So, I mean, I give a lot of credit to the coaches because their guys, they're improving. All of the guys on the offensive staff, offensive side of the ball, they're getting better as the season goes along.
What's the Ricard impact on the offense right now, Ricard?
He didn't play as much as he did against Washington. But he's a big, dropped that pass, which would have helped. But he's a big part of it, Bob, because he's almost like a pulling guard, you know, out there. And he's on all those big runs. He's right there involved in all of them.
Now we have Cleveland Sunday, and you'll do the Browns film study tomorrow. Based on what we've seen so far, Ravens first possession offensively, you're going to attack them how?
Well, what they did this past week, which was funny because Henry was out there to first. You could see that what Todd Monken was trying to do was he was running different plays, different formations, different groupings. And he was trying to see, okay, how are they going to attack him? Because the first play, he hands off to Henry. Then Henry goes out just as Hill comes in. All right, how are we doing? Then the next one, he runs the quick screen, you know, like off a fake pitch. All right, how are they handling misdirection type stuff? So Todd is studying in that first series on, okay, here's what they're going to do when we're lined up in that. And then, okay, I got it. Let's go. And they did. Seven of eight, they had the scores.
Ravens 41-31 over Tampa. Now it's off to Cleveland, taking on the Browns as 9-point favorites. Obviously, we still have a couple of days left to break that one down. We'll talk about Week 8 when we come back with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com. We'll look at the schedule, talk about some of the college games coming up. Got the World Series starts Friday as the Yankees travel to L.A., taking on the Dodgers, Jack Flaherty against Garrett Cole. Terps are in Minnesota, taking on the Gophers, 3:30 kickoff. You can hear it on the Fan. Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's up?
Good afternoon, guys. How's it going?
It's going all right. Hey, the Ravens going great, scoring 41 points, looking like a offensive juggernaut of a no return. Cleveland, on the other hand, not so much. So they already traded Cooper. Myles Garrett, maybe. Nick Chubb, maybe. What sort of house cleaning could we see with the Browns with the trade deadline coming up here in a couple of weeks?
Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, is giving Ken Dorsey play calling duties, which wasn't a thing before today. And it hasn't been sustainable for a while. You sort of touched on it, Bob. It starts with the quarterback situation, which has been, we live in a world of hyperbole, but that feels like one of the worst trades in professional sports, and maybe there's some other ones out there, but that has set that franchise back. And they weren't exactly having a head start on going in the right direction anyway. And now it feels like when they get out from under Deshaun, however they end up doing it, it's going to be a 5-6 year turnaround. And now you're unloading assets to sort of prepare for that. And I think Kevin Stefanski, unfairly, but I mean, we live in the football world where fairness doesn't always factor into it. He's probably going to lose his job at some point, and I don't know where they go from there. When you have an owner that makes hasty decisions and sticks with bad decisions, sometimes that can cripple a franchise for years, and that currently appears to be the Browns' fate.
Hey, Ryan, what could you get for Myles Garrett? Like, what could they get from Detroit?
I mean, didn't Bradley Chubb get traded for a first-round pick a few years ago? Myles Garrett's one of the best players in football. I think a first-round pick... I think that's where the conversation starts. I would be shocked.
Oh, no question.
Something less than that. I mean, the Lions are – I didn't even think cross my mind, but that organization has always been very proactive under Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell. So that's not something that was on my radar until you just mentioned it. But, I mean, that feels like a slam dunk. And the way – they lost Aiden Hutchinson probably till January, best case scenario. But the way Brian Branch is playing, their second-year player, the second-round pick at Alabama on the back end, Aaron Glenn and that defense, they're turning the corner, and obviously having someone like Myles Garrett on there to pick up the slack for Aiden Hutchinson, it just makes things that much scarier for the rest of the NFC.
Ryan, when I think about it, and I said it to Bob, I said, I could see them giving 2 1s. And that wouldn't shock me, because if I'm Detroit, I'm saying, okay, we give 2 1s, and then we get Hutchinson back next year, too, and we have Hutchinson and Garrett. This year we're hoping that our first round pick is, late 20s, and yep, the next year, same thing, 30, something like that. So giving up 2 1s, I don't think that's out of the question.
I don't even hate that. And fans and even media folks get agitated when you talk about throwing around a lot of first round picks, but go back and look at the list of first round picks that your team has made in the last 10 years. How many of those guys were home runs? A lot of times it's 60-40 proposition that it works out, and sometimes it's less than that, certainly less than that with the quarterbacks, and we've talked about that before. But you have a Myles Garrett, and Myles Garrett, you could argue he hasn't hit his prime yet, and he's been stuck in a situation like Joe Thomas was for years there in Cleveland, where he wasn't given an opportunity to be on good football teams. And as you guys know, changing scenery can help some players too, and he's always been say the right thing sort of guy. But I would imagine going somewhere where the structure in place in Detroit and the atmosphere and the locker room, all those things put together, I would imagine we would have yet to see the best of Myles Garrett to land in a situation like that.
Ryan, do you think we're going to see a lot of trades before the trade deadline here? I mean, we're seeing receivers go.
Yeah, I saw DeAndre Hopkins go to the Chiefs, and that doesn't necessarily move the needle a bunch. But
that's the same thing we said. That's the exact same thing we said.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, he's 32, and he's not going to beat anyone down the field, but he'll catch he's a possession receiver, so you get that out of it. Cooper Kupp is an interesting one. He's also north of 30 and struggled with injuries, and the Steelers have been linked to him. And, again, he helps, but he has a huge contract attached to him. So, but I would wonder what you guys think of this. It feels like the injury bug has been especially bad this year across the NFL, and some teams certainly more than others. But I think that's also precipitated some of these moves with these trades that we've seen. I'll be honest with you, I can't get the Myles Garrett thing out of my head now that you said it, Benny, because that is super intriguing to me.
Now, with all these teams, that are bad, that need quarterbacks, is there enough quarterbacks to go around, Ryan, like in your mock drafts, if there's how many top 5 quarterbacks or top 10 quarterbacks or first round quarterbacks are there?
They're not enough to go around, depending on the week. But, I mean, you watched that Georgia-Texas game, and there were not two first-round quarterbacks on that field, unless you want to talk about Arch Manning coming out in a couple of years. But Quinn Ewers has struggled. Carson Beck's a game manager. He's had opportunities to flash. He hasn't quite done it. I talked to you guys last week about Garrett Nussmeier. Right now, and we'll talk about this tomorrow on the podcast with my buddy Rick Spielman, but right now my top three quarterbacks are Shador, Cam Ward out of Miami, and Garrett Nussmeier. I'm moving Garrett Nussmeier ahead of Quinn and Carson Beck just because he's balled out, and he's done it with fewer games and at a higher level. So we'll see what happens in terms of these teams. A lot of times these quarterbacks push up the board. This draft class isn't as bad as the year Kenny Pickett and Matt Corral and all those guys came out, Malik Willis. But it's nothing like last year's either. So there'll be some guys probably, if I had to guess, the over-under 3.5 going the first round right now. We'll see if anyone gets pushed up inside of that. But it's slimmer pickings than it was a year ago. And you could argue Bo Nix would probably be QB 2 or 3 in this class, and he was the 6th quarterback off the board last year.
Yeah. Ryan, if Patrick Mahomes starts playing well, here's the thing that with the Chiefs, they're 6-0, and Mahomes got a 74 quarterback rating and 6 touchdowns, 8 picks. What happens when he starts playing good?
There's no stopping him. That's what happens because when players get hurt, they're important skill position players, typically the team fall. Look at the 49ers. They're struggling. Brock Purdy isn't playing terribly necessarily, but they don't have Christian McCaffrey out there. Debo is getting pneumonia. I mean, the things these guys are up against, praying towards ACL, and they're struggling. In Kansas City, they just plug guys in, possession receivers like Juju Smith-Schuster. You get Sky Moore back out there. You get Mecole Hardman back out there, and just find ways to make plays, even though the quarterback is pressing at times. And to your point, Vinny, when they get healthy – and guys are sort of where they need to be health-wise on that team, watch out. Because I actually asked Andy Reid this back at the Combine about how having Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, and that defense be so good, if that allows him to take more risks offensively. And he said it allowed them to do that last season. And Spags and that crew is actually holding up their end of the bargain this year as well while they try to get right on offense. So I think they're the best team in football when he's healthy. But you guys noted that the Ravens are playing some pretty good football right now too.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joins us. Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Some intriguing games coming up for Week 8. Atlanta's at Tampa. Decimated receiver group there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as we saw on Monday night. Buffalo at Seattle. Seattle, the only team right now, Ryan, as you know, with a winning record in the NFC West. Jaden Daniels didn't practice today, so does it take some of the luster off of that Bears-Commanders matchup?
Yeah, and their left tackle, rookie Brandon Coleman, is in concussion protocol still as well. So that's another interesting turning point in what that matchup looks like. Marcus Mariota played out of his mind. I don't know if he has two of those games back-to-back. But I would love to see matchup number one versus number two, where number two, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, one of the most surprising teams in football. And, again, it just goes to show you how quickly things can change culture-wise if you get the right coach and GM in there and you draft the quarterback. We saw it with the Texans last year and the Commanders this year, and maybe the Bears are going to be the follow-up to that as well as Caleb continues to grow. But those two guys are legit franchise quarterbacks, and it's fun to see Caleb get better each and every week because some Bears fans were lamenting that he wasn't quite playing like Jaden Daniels the first couple games of the season.
All right, we know you're a busy man, Ryan Wilson, but are you buying what Jerry Jones is saying about Derrick Henry not being a Cowboy right now?
And no, once Jerry tried to fire the radio guys last week for telling the truth, I officially tuned out Jerry for the rest of the year. He came back on the show this week, so I guess that's a good sign for the radio guys and for Jerry. That's the start, I suppose.
He basically said we suck too bad for him to have that level of success. We don't even run that style of offense. You mean a good one? He's Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Joins us every Wednesday. Ryan, appreciate it. Enjoy your week. Have fun with those mock drafts. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
There's Ryan Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, look at that Week 8 schedule in the National Football League, get a pick standings update from Nolan McGraw since we didn't do it yesterday, and then a fun house trip with the old Quick Draw there. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock here on The Fan. Getting ready for the Cleveland Browns. And Keaton Mitchell's three-week window, according to Jeff Zrebeck from The Athletic, is going to start today. So he might be back on the field in time for that Steelers game on November the 17th.
Well, that means, Bob, that he's practicing. He's out there, you know. So we'll see. I'd love it, Bob, if he had his explosiveness back. I mean, we said anything they get out of him this year is a bonus. So, we just saw Chubb last week, and he's not, you know,
Yeah, a little older. He's had two major knee injuries. Had one in college at Georgia. Yeah.
Let's hope, because Keaton's a young kid. If he's not ready, Bob, I got no problem with that, saving him till next year either. Whatever they think.
Seven games in, running back does not appear to be an issue for the Ravens. And, yeah, no doubt, injuries permitted. He gets back in there, and just another thing to worry about if you're an opposing defensive coordinator.
But, right, another thing, another weapon. And not just a normal weapon, a home run, a home run hit.
Dude averaged 8 yards a carry last year.
Yeah, and your other running back's averaging 6.
Marlon Humphrey, according to Ian Rappaport, did not suffer a major knee injury last week. Little discomfort's what he's dealing with right now.
I don't know how he did it. I didn't see him. It was on the interception.
Unless he banged his knee on the turf or something.
Maybe he's just got a bone bruise. I don't know. But, yeah, I was kind of shocked when he was gone for the rest of the game.
Jameis Winston will start for Cleveland with DTR out and Deshaun Watson out for the year. And a worst trade in football history, probably. I mean, if you want to go back to Babe Ruth with the Red Sox to the Yankees, but in modern times, and a contract which kind of changed the market for salaries. I mean, even then, anything less than winning 3 straight Super Bowls would have made this a disaster. You know, hyperbole, of course, for Cleveland, but to not even have a winning record in his career is probably done.
And he's never even taken him to the playoffs. He hasn't.
No, hell no. I mean, they made it last year.
That was Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco did it, and they made it a couple years ago with Baker Mayfield. Jimmy has them. If I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, and I'm not, well, I'd be wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, what I'm saying is...
And they want a new stadium.
Yeah. If I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, what I'm telling Jimmy has them, Jimmy, let the football people do the football stuff. You do what you do, but stay out of the football, because he's... Him and Tepper, I said it yesterday, the two dudes that have been in Pittsburgh that do it right, you know, they're often got to make every decision.
Yep, model of consistency are the Steelers. For our younger listeners out there, the Steelers have had 3 head coaches since 1969. 3! Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Hall of Famers, and Mike Tomlin, who's probably going to the Hall of Fame. 3 head coaches. Hell, the Jets had won a Super Bowl the last time because Chuck Knoll was hired from Don Shula's staff from the Colts after they lost Super Bowl III. So he was the coach in 69. Yeah, Super Bowl III. Chuck Knoll was still with the Colts the last time the Jets won a Super Bowl.
Crazy.
The Beatles were still together. We didn't even know what the moon was. Now you have people landing on it. And all of this stuff. All right, Nolan, what are those pick standings looking like after Monday's performances?
All right, not a lot of movement because we all had the Chargers. That was a loss for everyone. But we all had the Ravens. Some scores, a reminder here. I got Bob with 37-33 Ravens. Vinny had 35-24 Ravens. And I said 28-27. Updated standings here. Again, not really going to impact too much, but Bob is still in the lead, 90-52. Vinny, 3 games back at 87-55, and I'm still in last place, 81-61.
I'm 9 games up on you.
Correct.
I'm about the White Sox, Nolan McGraw.
How's our college? Is there good college games this weekend?
We'll get to that in a second. NFL Week 8 starts tomorrow night, 8:15. Vikings at the Rams. Minnesota coming off their first loss, 3-point favorites on the road. Ravens a strong 9-point favorites over Cleveland. Philly at Cincinnati. Bengals 2.5-point favorites at home. And as Jeff Hobson said a couple hours ago, they'll be 5-4 when they come to Baltimore for that Thursday night game. Last time they played the Ravens in Baltimore on a Thursday night, Mark Andrews got hurt, and Joe Burrow hurt his wrist and was out for the season. Tennessee at the Lions. Detroit minus 11. Cardinals at Miami. Looks like Tua's playing. They're 3.5-point favorites. Kyler Murray won't Rodney Dangerfield. Rodney Dangerfield, I don't get no respect sort of thing. You know.
Win.
Yeah, there you go. Win some games and be relevant on national scale. Jets at New England. Jets minus 7. Atlanta's at Tampa. Falcons minus 2.5. No Mike Evans. At least they're bye, and Godwin's done for the year. Yep. Green Bay at Jacksonville. Green Bay 4.5-point favorites there. Colts are at Houston. Texans 5.5-point favorites. New Orleans at the Chargers. Chargers 7.5-point favorites. Bills at Seattle. Buffalo -3 there. Tampa. Carolina's at Denver. Denver 9-point favorites.
And there's a lot of big spreads.
Yes, there are. Kansas City, speaking of big spreads, at the Raiders. Chiefs -10 in Vegas. Chicago's at Washington. Bears 2.5-point favorites. No Jaden Daniels. Didn't practice today. What did Quinn say? He's week to week.
Yeah. And what's today? Wednesday? Yeah. I would think if he's not practicing, he's not. From ribs, it's not going to improve tomorrow.
Dallas at San Francisco, 49ers, 4.5-point favorites there. And then coming up on Monday night, you've got Pittsburgh taking on the Giants, and that'll be a snooze fest. Pittsburgh should win and maybe win handily, I would assume.
Yeah, what's Steelers favored by?
Where are we at? Hold on, give me a second here. 6.5.
Yeah.
Now, college, that schedule you were asking for, what the hell did I just do with that? Let me keep up. Keep up, Bob. Keep
Terps,
up.
Terps, Minnesota.
Right, we got that. Let's see. Notre Dame, Navy, and New Jersey. Notre Dame -13. That is a rivalry game. How about Illinois at Oregon? Oregon, new number one, 21.5-point favorites there. Missouri at Alabama. Ooh. Alabama 14-point favorites in that one. Texas at number 25, Vandy. Texas 18.5-point favorites. Remember, Vanderbilt beat number one.
That's a puffy pantser.
Alabama. Interesting trap game, air quotes. Penn State at Wisconsin. Penn State 6.5-point favorites in that one. LSU at A&M. Texas A&M.
I'm taking A&M in that one.
2.5. Old yep. Neusmeyer, who Ryan Wilson talked about, he's got what? 18 touchdowns, 6 picks, and then that's kind of it. And then Maryland's getting 4 at Minnesota. So some interesting matchups here. Week 9,
yeah.
College football. It's Vinny at 81.057. The Fan will come back, take a trip through the fun house with Nolan McGraw, and then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. We got one more segment to go. Hey, maybe you'll get what you want to hear from Nolan. I am looking here for an attendance report for practice. Ravens back at it today. I don't see one. Except Keaton Mitchell, based on what we just talked about, he should be back there today, opening a window of a possible return, which is good news.
Absolutely.
Lamar named his offensive player of the week, which has become, something we're used to.
Yeah.
Given his 5-touchdown performance last week.
The thing with Mitchell, Bob, is they're opening the window. That means that there's a strong possibility, which I'm happy for the kid, because they've always said that he's doing well. And what everybody says, Bobby's an awesome kid, and we both got gut punched when he got hurt.
It was brutal watching that happen.
So I'm hoping that he can add something to this, and I hope he's back to normal.
And John Harbaugh hates talking about injuries because he's not a doctor, but he has been saying for a while that he's ahead of schedule and they were optimistic he'd be back. And here he is. It'll be less than a year since that injury, possibly back on the football field. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow as well. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Nolan, let's get to the funhouse, please.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with the Orioles. This texter says some are questioning if the O's should bring back Jack Flaherty in free agency. I think that ship has sailed for him in Baltimore, but if we're being honest, why would LA let him walk? If he helps them win a World Series. They've had more pitching injuries than anyone in recent years. I think they would go all in to retain him.
Well, he's going to hit the open market because he's revitalized his career. I mean, it was a debacle for him in St. Louis and then with the Orioles last year. Did well in Detroit. They trade him away and wind up making the playoffs. But Jack Flaherty, he's not going to get Corbin Burns money, let's be real, but I think he'll wait it out and see where he can possibly get paid the most. But Jim Hunter said it. Ryan Ripken said it last week. Coming back to Baltimore, probably not in the cards.
And if he's not a Boris client, which I don't believe he is, he would probably move pretty fast, I would think. No reason to get lost in the shuffle.
And if he pitches well in the World Series, people are going to be on him like a Kmart suit.
Right.
Yeah, he might be gone by the winter meetings.
But not to Baltimore.
No. This texter here talking about losses for the Ravens this year, or loss of players, says, I think the one that hurts the most is Jadeveon Clowney. The duo of him and Van Noy together created a ton of pressure last year, which in turn helped the secondary. They neither need to get a pass rush that's good enough to create pressure, which causes the opposing QB to make mistakes or rush his throws a little bit.
I tend to agree with that. I think Clowney was a big loss. I mean, not only because he had, what, 9.5 sacks, but, oh, the pressures. And he was the one getting chipped and doubled all the time.
This texter here says, Myles Garrett will be huffing and puffing, trying to chase Lamar around on Sunday, just like he is every time these two teams meet. One star player, not enough to stop this Baltimore offense.
Their defense isn't bad. You know, I mean, they got some, like, they got some guys at linebacker that can run. They got some corners that are pretty good. I mean, Cincinnati, they struggled, you know, to throw the ball, move the ball on them. So I think it's going to be, my gut right now tells me it's going to be harder than we think.
And how about one out the door here? Someone throwing shots at Mike Elias. Why not? Texter says, Mike Elias seems to hit on one player out of a handful of trade deadline acquisitions every year. People respond by saying that he's the man. It's time to stop praising him for every little move. Start holding him and the organization accountable, or they're never winning a World Series.
Well, this is a big offseason for him because it's time to take it to another level. And he's going to have the financial wherewithal, it seems, to maybe make a splash in free agency. So no excuses. Mike Elias, when he met with the media after the playoffs, he basically said, I screwed up at the trade deadline. Now we'll see what he and David Rubenstein have planned for the Orioles, because the team they're chasing in the division is 4 wins away from winning the World Championship, and you've had success against them in head-to-head matchups. Got to add to the talent base you already have. Look, if Holiday and Mayo become ball players, and Kerstad, if they turn out like Adley, Gunner, and Westberg, you're in good shape there. Adley's got a rebound from a dreadful second half. But now you got to supplement that young talent, spending some dough. Yeah. And what are they going to sign? They lose Corbin Burns, which they probably are. They're going to need a starting pitcher or two. How's Mike Elias going to handle that? We're all going to watch it together over the next few months. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 o'clock with Total Request Thursday. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. Inside Access coming up next. For now, class dismissed.